Ask Catherine. Hi, Catherine. You mentioned on the recent Dark Journalist interview that you're planning a trip to the East Coast. Is that still in the works? If yes, are there any details you're ready to release about date, place, and time? Yeah, I'm headed. I should be arriving on the 18th in the Philadelphia area. I'm leaving on the 26th. We have lunch in New York with Richard Dolan. We've sent out invitations to most subscribers. If you're in the West Coast, you might not have gotten one because we figure there's no way you want to fly to New York, although you're certainly welcome. If you didn't get it, please check your spam filter or call or email customer service for the link where you can buy a ticket. We'd love to have as many of our East Coast subscribers, as many of our subscribers who can come. The ticket's a little bit more pricey. We spent a lot of time looking for New York restaurants, and they were all expensive. So this is only designed to cover a portion of our cost. And I know it's tax season, so it's always hard to cough money up in April. But Richard's coming down from Rochester. It'll be a long four-hour time with him, a great time to interact and ask every question you've ever wanted to ask Richard Dolan and me. And these luncheons with that kind of time turn into great conversations. I know the people who are coming. It's a fabulous crowd. So I think those of you who can take the time to join us, that's a Saturday. It'll be very worthwhile, and you'll really enjoy the crowd. So I hope you come. A question that I'd read before about Dr. Farrell or other space program researchers know anything about meteorite events. I'm trying to get an answer to that, but I just don't know. One subscriber wrote in and recommended G. Edward Griffin, who's done marvelous work. He's the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, the best book really on the creation of the Federal Reserve. He's done some marvelous work on cancer and cancer research. Griffin's one of my heroes. It's a great suggestion. I will definitely add him to my list. I'd love to have Griffin on. A great comment from a subscriber referring to the Planet Debt interview that we're doing with Farrell. Wow, can't wait for this interview. Would you discuss the possibility of a reset of the world's economy? With the global debt bubble, wouldn't it be better to just let everyone default and collapse, start off minus the socialism, Marxism? No, let's not hope we get a collapse, because what it means is one group of people will have an extraordinary amount of money and everybody else will be desperate. So that could make things much, much worse. Let the free market restore the terrible devastation the bankers have done. I assure you, collapse would not return us to free market, would return us to breakaway civilization tyranny. So, I think that collapse myth is very different. I will address some of this in the first quarter wrap-up when we focus on planet debt. So I'm very glad you asked those questions. A comment from the gentleman who encouraged me to read Meltdown in Tibet. I had mentioned a different article, but take a look at Meltdown in Tibet, or do a search for Meltdown in Tibet. It's on the, let me just read one of the introductory descriptions. Tibetans have experienced waves of genocide since the 1950s. Now they are facing ecocide. It's true the Chinese are moving north and grabbing resources left and right, and it's a difficult, bitter time for the Tibetans. In your opinion, how will the AIIB affect the world economies, if at all? I think that he's referring to the new Asian Development Bank. We just saw news this week that Israel is now talking about joining. We've had a wave of European members join. And part of that was inspired by China's agreement that it wouldn't insist on a veto. I think that an Asian Development Bank is a terrific idea. It's going to facilitate the rebalancing of the global economy. If you haven't read the annual wrap-up this year, I really encourage you to do so. You can get it in many different forms. It's in flipbook form. We have a web presentation form, the audio form, the transcript, and of course, if you want it in hard copy, we have an offering where you can buy the book. So but we talk a lot about the rebalancing. I think anything that will provide liquidity, particularly that's focused not on financial speculation, but in building really important infrastructure out and along the Silk Road, which I think the Asian Development Bank will probably be focused on, whether it's roads, whether it's bridges, whether it's high-speed rail. I think these are all things that can really build out a better world. So I think it's great, and yes, I think it can make a difference, and it's going to be very important because every little ounce of liquidity is going to be needed if we get a very big, strong dollar scenario, which I'm afraid we might. The other thing is it's a way of building cooperation globally. For too long, we've gone through some of these other structures like the IMF, and it's really weakened the cooperation muscle, if you will, of different countries vis-a-vis each other around the world. So I think the more we see these kinds of hard dollar cooperations between a variety of different players, I think it's really good. And I commend China for not insisting on a veto. Dear Catherine, you mentioned during your interview with Richard Dolan that U.S. financial entities have been issuing 10 mortgages per individual home on a large scale. Can you explain the process of how this was done and tell us who was paying the interest on all these loans? I can only guess. This is based on what I observed cleaning up financial fraud at FHA and HUD twice, and then from talking to people who claim to have been fraudsters who were doing that kind of fraud for the intelligence agencies. As I've always said, these things are a little bit like the joy of cooking. There are many recipes, but here's my guess from what I saw. I think they were taking the same house and putting multiple mortgages on it and defaulting it many times. So I remember finding one house in the Chicago interview, which it defaulted 5 times in 1 year. I assure you, you can't do that in legitimate deals. Each time as they defaulted, they pulled money out of the FHA fund when the mortgage insurance got paid off. And that siphoned off the premiums from the mortgage, the mutual mortgage insurance fund, which is supposed to be a mutual which pays the sort of the profits in a book of business back to the insurance holders. And I think it siphoned off that money. And when you get the multiple defaults, those defaults are used to keep the pool going. And that's how you pay the, you keep the mortgages going. Say you do 10 mortgages on one house, you put it in a pool with a Ginnie Mae guarantee or Freddie and Fannie guarantee. I think some of them ended up at Freddie and Fannie. And you just have multiple defaults to keep the interest coming. At some point, the pyramid collapses, which is why I think you get into these 2008 situations or the situation we got into in 1989, where you just get big collapses and big payouts. But if you've heard me tell the story of being at FHA and getting an inventory that said we had 10 homes on a block and getting to that block and there was, you know, there was an empty lot. And I think that's how you get those situations where you get many, many mortgages with either a limited amount of collateral or no collateral behind it. And you go through sort of churning of defaults to pull money out of the fund to pay for the mortgage pools. You can only do that with the New York banks who are servicing the portfolios going along with the game. Catherine, we know there's been much manipulation from behind the scenes to hold the price of gold down. Is there any reason why the powers that be could ever want the price of gold to rise substantially? Yes, of course, absolutely. I think it's really important to understand that it is impossible to tell what the real market price would be if we had transparency around inventories as well as the sources and uses of demand of gold. So I think it's important to remember that. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for the copy of the Salier Report 2015 with a personal note. This is from one of the people who came to our workshop. We sent the Salier Reports copies of the annual wrap-up to all of them. I've been reading Martin Armstrong's site for a while and just signed up for his conference. I'm curious about your take on his call for corporate restructuring of debt, canceling taxes, etc. There's no doubt restructuring of the debt system is coming. You have too many sovereign nations who are in real trouble and can't possibly meet their debt obligations. You have a real squeeze between the retirement demands of the population or expectations and the ability of the governments to keep the game going with issuing more and more debt. So we're definitely coming in for restructuring. I started talking a year ago about debt for equity swaps. Martin is as well. And here's the simple, short answer. Debt for equity typically means you get them over the barrel by getting them in too much debt, and then you can pick up their equity for cheap. It's what happened in 1997 with the East Asia sort of liquidity crunch. Suddenly, all the big Western investors, the whole Anglo-American alliance was there with checkbooks trying to buy up big chunks of equity for cheap, the kind of equity they would never be allowed to buy. That's what we see in Greece. Part of the workout is they're saying, well, you can't pay back the debt, so now we want to buy all your companies for cheap. And the Germans are, the Greeks are saying, no. You know, we're not going to let you buy the family heirlooms for cheap. So a couple more questions about Armstrong and his work. I think Armstrong is interesting, but he very much believes in black boxes and the ability to forecast. I think it's very dangerous to fall prey to that. I think we need a way of going about investment that doesn't depend on forecasting the future, because I think you can get yourself in quite a box. I think, you know, there's a lot, they point out that Armstrong doesn't look at the breakaway civilization or talk about black budgets. I think that's important. We really need to understand why the people in charge are so afraid and what they are afraid of. I mean, when you demand complete invasive 24/7 surveillance of adults and children, that's very, very invasive. So I think it is essential for any of our analysis that we look at those things and deal with the uncertainty of them. They point out he had a solutions conference. They just finished watching a 3-hour tape. If anybody wants to send it to me, I'll watch it. Because it is time we started talking about solutions at a more global level. And I think the BRIC nations and the development of the Asian Development Bank is sort of inspiring the conversation.